Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Get it for the fourth time. Prescott,
a lot of time. Oh.
Airs it out deep down the field. CeeDee Lamb breaks the tackle. No one home. Touchdown, Dallas!
A bad day in Big D yesterday. We're here to talk about it today. Good morning, everybody. Max is with me. Ben will join me at 12. The 44-22 loss over the... I'm not in the stream yet, am I? You need me in the stream, don't you?
Yeah, I'd prefer it, but, you know, if you don't want to show your face after a loss like that, I completely understand.
I'm potting myself up in the stream. My apologies. A little bit off today. 44-22, the final in Dallas. It seems like the loss itself was the least of the concerns. We've got a quarterback who is hurt again. And the defense is playing as bad as any defense in the league is right now. And look, last year they were able to overcome a bad defense because they were playing the likes of Deshaun Watson and Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler and Kenny Pickett and Andy Dalton. But this year, when you've got the likes of Dak Prescott twice, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, and still down the road, Jalen Hurts twice. Dare I say it, the season feels like it's on the brink. And I promised last week that if they lost yesterday, I would not go down this path in mid-October with still 10 games left. But if Jaden's going to be an in and out of the lineup quarterback, well, that alone ends any serious hope of having a good season. But on top of that, the defense being in total disarray, it's worse than I thought it would feel here on this Monday morning following the loss yesterday. They're 3-4. They're obviously not out of it. They don't have the worst record in the league. But 3-5 looks like more than just a possibility. It looks like a probability heading to Arrowhead a week from tonight to face the red hot Chiefs. Now, I said that the 44-22 loss against the Cowboys is actually the least of their concerns. Their biggest concerns out of the game yesterday are a quarterback who is hurt again. Dan Quinn said afterwards that Jaden Daniels will have an MRI today on his hamstring. It did seem like it was not a super serious injury. You know, he gave the thumbs up to his family, his mother, and Quinn talked about after the game that Jaden wanted to come back in to the game and play. They wouldn't let him. So I guess that we could get some really good news today. You certainly, with this guy now through 27 games, not all 27 involving him, we're now on injury number 3 in 27 games. And I can do that math. That's an injury every 9 games. I know it doesn't work that way, but it's for emphasis to say, yeah, this was, with his frame, the number one concern that some of us had, and we are seeing now with him that a brilliant talent has to be available to play for his team to succeed. And we've got 3 injuries in 27 games and 2 already in 7 games this season. That is obviously a big, big storyline coming out of the game. And it's not just a weekly storyline, as in the lead up to the Kansas City game. There's a bigger picture conversation we have to have. And we've had it before, but now we really have to have, you know, I got so much on social media. God, thank God I don't look at it during the game. I really don't. But I look at it before the show. I mean, I must have had at least a dozen tweets explaining to me that as long as you let Jaden run and as long as you have him as a running quarterback, he's never going to survive. He got hit in the pocket. He got hurt in the pocket. Yes, the Green Bay injury was with him on the run, but it wasn't a design run. It wasn't an option run. It was a scramble. Stop it with that. He is clearly a player that I think we're going to have to deal with this, you know, and that is going to be problematic because his talent is unmistakable. His impact on a game is unmistakable. And I'll get to his game yesterday in great detail when I get to my game take. But availability is the greatest ability. And it's possible he's going to miss more time in a season that, from that standpoint, the injury standpoint, has really gone sideways. And it happens to every team. You know, every team has years like this one, you know, and there's a long way to go. There are still 10 games, but it seems like, as NFL fans, right, when teams start this way, it typically continues this way. And you have those seasons in which you get bit by the injury bug. And Quinn said after the game, injuries had nothing to do with this. We don't make excuses. That's fine. We can talk about it. I know what injuries are in the NFL. They're a reality. They're not an excuse. They're real. And when they happen, they impact games and they impact seasons, period. End of discussion. You don't have to call in and say, next man up and all of that, you know, bravado. Everybody understands, yeah, in the fight, when you're actually in the fight, next man up. But when you're evaluating it, of course it matters. You'd have to be an idiot to say that injuries don't matter, that they don't impact games and seasons. And so far, this season has been impacted by the number of injuries that they have had. With that said, I'm kind of with Quinn yesterday to a certain degree that the biggest issue for them wasn't necessarily that they were missing 3 receivers, their 3 starting receivers. It was an issue. It absolutely was an issue. But they had a lot of issues yesterday, a lot in terms of why they lost that game. All right, so I want to just hear in the open before I get to the specifics of, you know, what was good from the game, what was bad from the game, and everything else. I do want to just start with this and acknowledge this for people out there like me who are massive Jaden Daniels fans and believers, and there's no reason, obviously, not to be, you know, after a couple of games this year where it wasn't exactly like it looked last year. He didn't play well yesterday. The offense didn't play well yesterday. Part of it is the limitations that they had at receiver. No doubt, to say otherwise, again, is stupidity at the highest level. You can say both things. It limited them, and also, hey, by the way, too bad, next man up, overcome it. And by the way, they have overcome it. I mean, they overcame it 2 weeks ago. I mean, they had Debo on the field, which was helpful. They nearly overcame it the other night with a less than 100% Debo on the field. I think that was clear Monday night. One less mistake, and they probably would have gotten through that game, but they weren't going to get through this game playing the way they played with the limitations or without them. They just didn't look right at any point. You know, perhaps they were on the verge of getting it together. You know, they had scored on a long drive at the end of the first half, and they were on the move in the third quarter. You know, we've seen bad halves or halves that weren't stellar, and then we've seen Jaden and the offense turn it around and be lights out in the second half. And they were certainly on the move in the third quarter, down 27-15. Would have been nice had it been 20-15 or 23-15 instead of 27-15. We'll get to, you know, how they ended that first half when I get to the game take. But it's very possible. And I had a friend of mine who is a coach in town just say, you know, they were going to score on that drive if he doesn't get hurt. And then all we were looking for was just one or two plays defensively the rest of the way, and it was going to be there was going to be a chance. I tend to agree with that. I don't know if the defense was going to come up with the one or two plays that it was going to need to have. But they were on the move. Jaden had completed that 3rd and 10 off schedule to Chris Moore. And then it was the next play where not only did he get hurt, he failed to protect the football. And with that turnover, his 3rd in 2 games, and added to that, him leaving the game, there went any hope of some sort of, you know, legitimate or even long shot comeback against the Cowboys. So, look, Jaden and the offense didn't do enough. That was true yesterday. They needed to play a flawless game. He needed to be what he was last year in games, knowing what the defense was up against the Cowboys, and they didn't. Now, what's also true about yesterday's game, and why I am willing to consider that here on October 20th at 3-4, with still 10 games left, the season is a bit on the brink. It is potentially about to come off the rails a bit. And let me just be clear. I'm not predicting that it's going to be. I've watched too many NFL seasons like many of you have. You know how things just change. And a couple of weeks from today, we could be thinking something completely different about this team. But you can only say what you feel in the moment. And I know that there's a chance that it will turn around. But in this moment, the defense is so bad. It is such an abject disaster with, I'm not sure, an obvious answer. And because, like I said, there aren't Jake Hayners and Kenny Picketts and Spencer Rattlers and Deshaun Watsons and even like Daniel Jones in New York last year, there aren't a lot of those opportunities left. Or, you know, there isn't a Russell Wilson game against the Giants. There isn't a Geno Smith game against the Raiders. There aren't many of those left. Maybe the Miami game in Madrid. I am concerned that the big picture is not very rosy right now. And I think that leads me to what we've talked about a lot going back to last year. Is it a personnel issue or is it a defensive coordinator issue? I've told you guys for about a month running, I have been told, and the most recent was about 2 weeks ago, it's not just the defensive coordinator. It's a lot of things. But if you heard Dan Quinn after the game, it sounds like everything is on the table. He was asked about one again, the explosive plays. And how about the play that we came in with, the 74-yard touchdown pass to CeeDee Lamb, where Quan Martin and Marshawn Lattimore did their thing. They ran into each other for like the seventh time this year. It's actually becoming a ritual, a weekly ritual, that they run into each other, they knock each other down, and allow the other team to end up with a big play. And there were a lot of big plays yesterday. And remember when Joe Witt spoke last week, I said, this isn't about DeAndre Swift's breaking of a tackle on a 55-yard, you know, touchdown. He, you know, had sort of pinned that on, well, that's going to be called an explosive. Yeah, well, guess what? Olamide Zaccheaus' drop would have been an explosive, too, of about 97 yards. Like, context, your defense was terrible on Monday night. It wasn't about one play and one missed tackle. It was much more than that, as it's been against any capable team. Joe Witt's been the team's defensive coordinator now for 27 games, 20 last year and 7 this year. And the defense during his 27 games has been majority of the time bad. And it's really bad right now. So Dan Quinn was asked about another 6 to 7 explosive plays that they gave up in the game yesterday. And here's what he said.
Dan, with those big plays keep happening, how frustrating, and first of all, why, I guess, and then, but just how frustrating is it that game after game they keep happening?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. We're looking at everything, man. We're going to look at everything to, you know, have a play that goes down the field and you know, throw over your head or a good battle. Like, I can live with that one, but the ones of the big explosive plays that I can't put my finger on, that's a lot for us to dig into. If I had one specific reason, I'd say this or this. But, yeah, we got, like I said, a lot to get better at, and it's definitely frustrating.
So Dan Quinn, going to look at everything. And by the way, if you've watched this for him, wow, he was not happy. He was legitimately not happy. And Dan Quinn's not a pound your fist on the table, expletive, you know, post-game coach. But you could tell he is on the brink himself of having had it with the defense. Now, there were other follow-up questions, and we'll play some of those. But the big takeaway, and it happened quickly, John Keim got right to it, is, yeah, we are going to look at everything. And let's be specific. The question was asked about the defense and the explosive plays that it continues to give up. By the way, I think he needs to examine everything, because I didn't love what was happening offensively yesterday. But after a game like the one yesterday, when another 6 to 7 ridiculous explosive plays took place, and by the way, now add to the defensive misery that they can't stop the run, which reverts to last year's biggest issue, they don't take the ball away, 3 total turnovers, takeaways in 7 games. Only the Jets have fewer in the NFL. Yeah, I think everything's on the table, you know, and I would say this yesterday, just like Monday night, you can't walk away from Monday night's game and say it was all the defense when the offense had 3 turnovers. You can't walk away from yesterday's game and say it was just the defense when the offense had 2 turnovers, lots of penalties, lots of drop passes, etc. But it does feel like a moment to me where something might happen. Not sure if it will, but the defense is a huge problem currently, and then looking at the largesse of 10 games left in this season. You know, they've looked like a respectable defense only against opponents who were bad offensively or injured offensively. See the Giants, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Anybody that's had any capability whatsoever And even a team like Chicago, who's, you know, okay, they have been torched. And when it came to explosive plays yesterday, Dan Quinn said he's going to look at everything. So what's he looking at? Well, he's got, in my opinion, five options. Number one, do nothing. Number two, do something with Joe Witt Jr. from a taking away his responsibilities as a coordinator, taking them on yourself as the head coach, or perhaps giving it to somebody else. That's option two. Option three is just make personnel changes. Option four is do both. Take away his coordinating and play calling responsibilities and make personnel changes. And option five, of course, is move on from Joe Witt Jr. 7 games into year two, because overall, the resume of 27 games is not good. And I've said this before about 100 times last year, another 100 to 200 in the offseason, and even a few times this year. The personnel ain't great. I get it. But there are a few players defensively who are capable. I mean, their two tackles, at least yesterday, Kinlaw all season long, are okay. Luvu is pretty good. Sanra still, we thought last year, could really play. They drafted a rookie in the second round who everybody thinks can really play. Yeah, there have been some key injuries, no doubt. Losing Wise, losing Armstrong in the game yesterday early was huge. But those are the options for Quinn. Do nothing, number one. Number two, do something with essentially demoting Joe Witt Jr. and either taking over the coordinating and game day play calling responsibilities yourself or giving them to somebody else. Option three is just make personnel changes. Option four is do both. Take away the coordinating and play calling responsibilities and make personnel changes. And option five, and let me just be clear, I think this is a major long shot. I don't think it'll happen. I think Dan Quinn would do something in the offseason, but not 7 games into this season. Because again, part of it is more than just the defense in terms of two losses in a row. They turned the ball over 3 times on Monday night. Hard to win a game -3. Now, you can say, I need to get some of those back. And they don't get any of them back. And yesterday, it wasn't like Washington's offense was matching Dallas's offense, score for score. But those are the five options. But look, the other thing is Jaden, back to him. You know, the offense. And the offense's biggest problem, and it's a conversation I know that we've had, but we need to have it again, is that number five is injured again. You know, this time it's a hamstring. A few weeks ago it was the knee. Last year it was the ribs. We don't know whether or not he's going to miss a game or games or any of the above. But the big picture on Jaden Daniels being injured for a second time in 7 short games this season and a 3rd time overall in the 27 games that he's been a part of the franchise is that it does feel like that this is going to be, you know, a theme every season. You know, he's going to miss some time because he's got a frame that isn't able to hold up necessarily against, you know, 17 games and the NFL talent. Yesterday, obviously, was, you know, all about him. There was only one way they were going to win that game and matching Dallas score for score is if he ended up, you know, putting on the Superman cape and doing what he did so many times last year. But he didn't really do that yesterday at all. And then he got hurt. This is certainly part of today's conversation. You know, we'll see about this one. It's new. It's a hamstring. You know, it's not a rib. It's not a knee injury. It's a hamstring injury. I would wager big money that during the course of his career, we'll have other parts of the body that end up being a, you know, central point of our conversation during football seasons. Yesterday was difficult for him, you know, before the injury. No You know, limited at wide receiver. And, you know, then on top of that, penalties, drop passes, a run game that wasn't really existent. Maybe they should have tried more. I'll get to that when I get to my game take. Just penalties galore. But at the same time, he was able to overcome that all the time last year. You know, the situation being he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to rise above penalties and drops and a bad defense. And perhaps, again, I don't want to leave this as not a possibility explored, because I'll tell you, before he got hurt, I'm like, all right, here we go. You know, the drive at the end of the first half, and then they're on the move. He had the 3rd-and-2 run where he stretched it out to move the sticks. And then the 3rd-and-10, the off-schedule extend, and throw a ball to Chris Moore to move the chains. They're at the Dallas 39 pretty quickly, and they got a chance to make it 27-22 early in the third quarter. So we were perhaps on the verge. It's not like there isn't ample evidence that he is capable of going from a so-so half to a brilliant half in a game. We saw it against the Chargers 2 weeks ago. Really slow start and then brilliance the rest of the way without, you know, a great supporting cast. But he got hurt, and we'll never know on that. So here we are, you know, approaching the halfway mark of the season, approaching already the latter part of October. And this is a season that's under siege right now. It's under duress for sure. They've been an injured team, and now they are officially a terrible defensive team. And they have just one NFC win. The upcoming schedule looks brutal, and their starting quarterback is injured once again. NFL seasons are weird, man. There's a long way to go. 10 games. We know, those of us that have watched them, most of you as well, that the league will make you look stupid for declaring anything in October. But right now, Jaden's health, the health of some key players on offense and defense, and what Quinn does about the defense are the issues that need some resolution pretty quickly. I'll get to my game take when we come back, the specifics on what I liked, didn't like, and more, and then give you guys ample opportunity to vent on this Monday following an absolute beatdown in Dallas to the Cowboys to fall to 3-4 with the Chiefs on Monday Night Football at Arrowhead on deck. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the Team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, when I'm able to boot us up, we're also on our live YouTube stream. Just go to the Team980's YouTube channel, hit the like button, and hit the subscribe button when you get there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at Bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Let's continue with calls. Our guy Mark in Largo. I couldn't wait to take this call, Mark. Go ahead. Have at it.
Hey, you know, normally I don't agree with Ian, but I think what Ian was trying to say to you, Kevin, and I'm going to let you, I'm going to explain it to you like you're a 10-year-old. Go back 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago, when Juwan Howard left. And everybody in this town lost their minds because Abe Poland didn't pay. But we all said, he's not worth the money,
right,
but he's worth the money here. I totally agree with you. I wouldn't give, he's not worth Chase, Jefferson, Metcalf money. But, Kevin, what are your other options here? None. So I agree with you. That's what I think everybody has been trying to tell you. No, he's not worth it. And that's what
first of all, not everybody's
saying.
Trying to tell me what? Anything. This has been a debate ongoing for a while and been a very polarizing issue. I think the point is what you say.
Because I think.
Go ahead.
I think what you're saying is, and I understood, look, it's over and done with, and I get it. Now, let's get to the real problem at hand here, okay? Kevin, you need to start looking at yourself in the mirror and start asking yourself, is Adam Peters the right guy? And I've been on the air saying this for the last year and a half, ever since he made that John Dotson trade, that he acts out of emotions. He doesn't act he doesn't act like normal men act. I thought that Jahan Dotson trade was a horrible trade. Thought it was a horrible trade. You got 3 picks from it, fine. But I still thought it was bad because you're taking away a guy.
Did they get 3 picks for Jahan Dotson?
They got 3 picks, and how is that working out right now?
They got 3 picks for Jahan Dotson?
So here's the other thing, Kevin. Here's the other
Did
thing,
they?
Too. Here's the other thing, too.
But you do this all the time. You do this all the time. You just spout things, and I need to go back. I'm like, Max, did they get 3 picks for Jahan Dotson? I forget. Maybe he's right.
They got a third rounder and 2 7th rounders. Okay.
Uh huh.
You want a cookie for that? Okay. Now back to what I was saying. The bottom line is this: you traded for Debo, which was a horrible trade.
They traded Dotson and a 5th rounder. For a 3rd and 2 7ths. So, in effect, they traded him for a third rounder.
So in the past 2 years, you've gotten rid of 2 5th-round picks, basically, for receivers.
Yeah, right.
You got rid of 1 for Dotson and 1 for
I'm just pointing out you forgot a big part of the trade.
So, look, let me ask this question, Kevin.
Ask
he
it.
Sit up here and talk about everything else that he's done. The reality of the situation is, There's a lot of availability. These people aren't available. Every day he's trying to get people off the streets to come in here.
Yeah.
The number one thing you're supposed to do for your franchise quarterback is put talent around him. And, Kevin, let me ask you this. Of the 6 quarterbacks, who has the worst talent around him that came out in the 24 draft? Daniels.
Okay, but
and it's not even close.
Okay, but there's always a little bit of nuance, which sometimes you're incapable of providing with your very emotional rants. The cupboard was completely bare when he got here. So the previous regime, and I think the guy's name was Ron Rivera, certainly bears some culpability for where the roster is.
Now,
stop! Stop! Shut up! And let me respond. When you're talking and screaming and we're both doing it at the same time, it's terrible radio. So just shut up, slow down. I'm going to let you talk. But you got to let me talk after you've talked. All right? So the cupboard was completely bare when they got here. And what I've suggested for to you and anybody else that wants to, I guess, move on from Adam Peters after 19 months, is that you need more than just one off season to fix it, to fill that cupboard up with things. And by the way, a lot of the moves they've made have been very good moves. In fact, they participated and contributed to the team winning more games than it had won in 34 years and advancing the furthest in the postseason that they had advanced to in 34 years. I am willing to sit back and wait on the evaluation of Adam Peters for more than 19 months. You apparently are not. Okay. So we move on. What's next?
No. Here's the reason why I say that. They're not going to get rid of Adam Peters, and that's the very reason why they're not getting rid of Joe Witts. Because I'm going to tell you the conversation that's going on, and this is real talk, what I'm about to tell you, Kevin.
Well, versus the previous talk, which wasn't real. It was fake.
Well, whatever. Josh Harris is having a conversation with Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, and Adam Peters. Now, if Adam is recommending that we get rid of Joe Witt, you know what Dan's going to say? Well, you know what, Josh? We've been needing a defensive end for the last two drafts. Hello, have we drafted one? See, that puts everything to rest right there about Joe Witt.
That's it. Fired. That's the walk-off moment, the mic moment. When
That's
Quinn just walks right out of the room and says, "Get out of my face,
he
Adam,"
right out,
and the whole place is blowing up out in Ashburn. I don't think that's happening. I don't think it's happening. Yeah.
I know it's not happening.
You just said it was happening.
Joe's not going nowhere, and Adam's not going nowhere. Look,
you just said what's happening is Dan Quinn is in a confrontation with Adam Peters.
Right now.
You just said it's happening right now.
Yeah, I do think that's. I think not only him. I think it's Cliff Kingsbury too.
I gotta go. I gotta go. You're exhausting. You're fun though. You're a lot of fun though. But I agree with you that Joe Witt Jr. is not going anywhere. I do have, as I had last week, I do have a hunch that maybe something's coming with respect to the defense. I do. But we'll see. All right. Ben's going to join us actually at 12:25. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm going to try to get give all of you a shot after these words from a few of our sponsors. Wizards open up tonight against the Bucks. It is going to be another season where it's going to be all about the young guys and the development of the young guys, even though there are a couple of veterans on the roster. Chase Hughes will be documenting the season, covering it as he has for many years now for Monumental Sports. He's also a radio sideline reporter for the Wizards Radio Network. You can follow Chase on X at Chase DC Sports. And he's got a YouTube show podcast called Off the Bench. So you can get that anywhere you get your podcasts and on YouTube, and probably he'll link it from his X account. So, it snuck up on us this season. Real quickly, did you watch both games last night?
I watched the entirety of the first one and part of the second one.
First of all, love the NBC return to the NBA. I mean, for me, it's, a throwback to the Jordan era and those great, 90s era games. But how about Kevin Durant not getting teed up for calling that timeout, doing the Chris Webber thing at the end of the first overtime? How did he get away with that?
I don't know. I mean, I heard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander talk about it after the game and said that if you were on the court, you could see it. And you could hear it. I mean, even in that loud stadium, one of the loudest in the league, you heard him try to do it about three times. And SGA was very forgiving. He said, you know, people make mistakes. The refs made mistakes. But if OKC had lost that game, I wonder what he would have said.
I'm wondering if you observed the same thing last night about Kevin Durant. I said this at the beginning of the show. I thought he looked old last night. I thought he looked 37 years old. He couldn't get separation. Now, look, Oklahoma City is one of the great defensive teams in modern era NBA basketball. It is hard against that team, as we saw during the postseason last year. But I thought he looked really old and not KD-like. Did you see the same thing or not?
I did notice that. I would say, first of all, OKC's defense might be one of the best of all time.
Like, yeah, of course.
And so when I was watching like Reed Shepard and Amen Thompson, two guys who I think are going to be really good, Amen Thompson in particular, they couldn't really get by anyone. And I'm wondering, like, okay, well, what happens when they play a normal team, a human basketball team, right, that doesn't have that defense? But in terms of Kevin Durant, you know, it is interesting. You know, everyone, I think, accurately predicted that his game would age really well. Even after the Achilles injury, everyone thought he'd have a chance to come back and still be really good because of the way he plays. And he has. But if you look deeper at the numbers, he doesn't really get to the rim or get dribble penetration at all anymore. He's really an outside shooter, and he's still really, really good at it. He'll still give you 26, 27 points per game. But that other element of his game is really diminished. So, you know, Father Time is undefeated. I think that's, you know, a given. But it will be interesting to see how he fits in. And, you know, can the Rockets continue to be the powerhouse that they were last year, incorporating him? Because other teams have tried, and obviously it hasn't been as easy as you might think it would be.
Yeah, I do think Amen Thompson is going to be a star, and I think everybody believes that. It's just, it was an interesting, you know, first game and first matchup, and yeah, what you said is true. I mean, I just think back to May and June and what Oklahoma City did defensively. It was some of the most unbelievably, you know, it was so overwhelming, their defense at times. I would come in here after a game, and they couldn't make, it's like the other team couldn't make a first down. You know, they couldn't make forward progress in some of those drives. So yeah, tough matchup for the opener for Kevin Durant. All right, let's talk about the Wizards. It's, you know, going to be another one of those seasons. Before we talk about the roster and what you're expecting, you know, just overall, I mean, you think this is what, year three of year what before we can expect a competitive team?
I think 5 years total. I mean, I think the timeline that Michael Winger and Will Dawkins have alluded to is, you know, certainly they don't expect to compete for the postseason this year, but, you know, based on what they've said and the average NBA rebuild, you know, maybe next year, certainly the year after that. So I think probably 4 to 5 years. I kind of look at rebuilds in terms of how many drafts have you done. They've done 3 drafts. I think the average NBA rebuild's probably 4 to 5 drafts, right? You're not going to be picking top 5, top 10 forever. So they've collected a lot of picks. And I think what will be exciting to watch this year is that, you know, they needed time to collect those draft picks. And now they have them. So there's a bounty of young players, a lot of whom were hand-selected by the team in the first round. And now I think we can really start evaluating what is hopefully meaningful progress for their young players. And it's, you know, the rookies, obviously we're going to watch Trey Johnson and Will Riley and what they do. But the year-over-year development is absolutely essential to what they're trying to do. Will Dawkins and Mike Winger have talked about it many times, but player development is like probably the most important ingredient to what has been successful in Oklahoma City. And they believe that, you know, if you draft a guy in the first round, they really begin at a very similar starting point to every other first round pick. It's what happens after that. And they've also said that it takes, you know, close to 10 years to see a guy reach his peak. Obviously they don't expect for it to take 10 years to be a competitive team, but like a Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Starr, Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, these guys who have been in the system for a year plus, like they're looking for those guys to take steps forward.
What do you think about that? I think that's a really interesting point. I don't think people think about it that way, but it's true that, you know, a lot of these players, unless they're true transcendent talents, but, you know, everybody else, it's, you know, it's a matter of, did they get drafted by the team where they're the right fit and they're being developed by the right people? So do the Wizards have a good developmental team?
I think they do. I think Brian Keefe being in charge is an important thing to note because of his track record, not only in Oklahoma City with guys like SGA and Durant and Westbrook and Harden, but players at other stops too. He's got a really good background in that regard. But, you know, ultimately they got to walk the walk in that sense, right? And so I think you look at these young players, you know, can they maximize their strengths, minimize their weaknesses? Can they find the right role for themselves? I think Keyshawn George will be an interesting guy to watch this year. He's a little bit older and more experienced than the other first-round picks. And I think he's
older, by the way, meaning what, 21, 22?
Yeah, exactly. When I say older, it's all relative.
Right.
But he has arguably shown the most promise, I think, as a two-way player.
Me too.
And that might be surprising to some people because he was the 24th pick.
Yeah.
But he really came on in the second half last year. The shooting never really caught up, but that was considered his biggest strength as a draft prospect. And then he was the best player on the summer league team. I think he was one of the best players in the preseason. You hear about practices behind the scenes. He's the one who is, you know, hitting the game-winning shots in the scrimmages they play. So I think he could be a great example, but, you know, certainly they would like to see a collection of these young guys take steps forward.
All right. So, by the way, I didn't consume it like I typically do last year, but I kept saying, you know, he's the guy that has the best sort of two-way ability. And I think most NBA fans, most people know, it's really not about where they get drafted. We've seen so many of these stars end up going from the middle of the first round to, you know, obviously Jokic in the second round, who's the best player in the game today. So what I want you to do here for the next, you know, minute or two is give me the order of their young players, the drafted players, the acquired players, because they didn't draft all of these young first-rounders. But out of all of these young players that we're going to be watching, hopefully develop, in terms of your personal view of how it will shake out 3 to 4 years from now, biggest contributor to the least amount of contribution. How do you see these young players shaking out? And I'll start by asking you this before you get to your order. Is there a true potential top five superstar on their roster right now, future?
That's a great question. I'll kind of frame this as like a top prospects list. You know, I used to cover baseball.
Yeah.
I might put Keyshawn George atop that list, to be honest, because you and I have both seen it, as you mentioned, and I also hear it from scouts and, like, people with other teams. Like, there are a lot of people around the league who think he's going to be a good player. And he's just got great feel. He's got a competitive edge that I really respect and I think will carry him a long way. So I'll start with him. I think I'll go Bilal Coulibaly second. And I'm not surprised with people because, you know,
We're having a bit of an issue with your phone, and I don't want to miss this. So let's just try to get a clear – are you there?
Can you hear me now?
It's breaking up a little bit. So I'll let Max kind of figure it out with you because I don't want to miss any of these names. Coulibaly second. That's actually a surprise that he went with Coulibaly second. I love Coulibaly as a defender. I love him as a defender. I am getting a little bit concerned, and I shouldn't because, you know, this is just, you know, year three upcoming. But I wish he were a more consistent three-point shooting threat. He can guard you, though. He can absolutely guard you. Have we reestablished a better connection with Chase?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I got you now. Go ahead. So Coulibaly second. Why?
I'll go with him second. I know he's taken some heat for his offensive development last year, but if you look at the defensive metrics, he's like pretty close to being like an upper echelon wing defender. And so just seeing that, I think gives me confidence that at a minimum, he could be a really good defensive player. After that, I'll go Alex Starr. I think obviously he's going to have to improve his shooting, but his potential on defense is very obvious. I mean, he could be a prototypical 4/5 switch defender. Bub Carrington, I would probably put next. I was really impressed with what he did down the stretch of last season. And I was kind of answering a similar question in previous interviews where I said I really liked his potential, maybe compared to the rest of the roster. But you know, he struggled a little bit in the summer league and a little bit in the preseason. So I'll put him behind Saar right now. And then Cam Whitmore, I mean, I'm really obviously intrigued in Cam Whitmore. Yeah. But we got to see him defend and be a willing passer. Obviously, the talent is amazing. I thought he was a top five, top six pick in the draft. He fell for those kind of reasons, and he had those problems in Houston. And the Wizards aren't going to, like, allow him to play any different way than Houston did. They want to see the same thing. So that kind of remains to be seen. And then I guess Will Riley would be the next one, unless I'm missing someone. Will Riley is just, you know, younger and less developed than the other guys, but
yeah,
he was one of the most impressive players in the preseason. And I've heard some really good things about him from the veterans.
He's tough, man. So I loved him at Illinois last year.
Yeah, he's got a great motor and a great feel for the game. And CJ McCollum, just a couple of details here. I asked him for a scouting report. He said he's like a very advanced cutter for his age. It reminds him of a European player. And that he's got a very advanced use of his pivot foot, which I thought was a really cool detail. And he told me that, and I started to see it in the preseason. So if you're a Wizards fan, look out for that when Will Riley's on the court.
What do you think we're going to get from Trey Johnson? And do you have, like, if we went to next year at this time and I asked you the same question, is there a chance he's at the top of the list?
Yeah, I'll put Trey Johnson actually number two. I don't know how I forgot him. There's just too many young guys. But
fine. He hasn't played an NBA game yet, so it's fine.
Right. But I'm pretty high on Trey Johnson, at least as an offensive prospect. I think he's the best offensive talent they've drafted since Bradley Beal in 2012. I think he's going to hit the ground running as a shooter. Obviously, he's going to have to improve, you know, his ability to create off the dribble, his ability to defend. But I think he has a chance to put up a lot of points this year, and I think – that's a big reason why he's second in Rookie of the Year odds behind Cooper Flagg.
I want to mention something to you. It's not about this roster. It is in some way, shape, or form, because they traded this player and they ended up getting, you know, some picks, and I think Bub Carrington was one of them. I was not a fan of them trading Denny Avdija. Do you think they're going to regret trading him?
I still think you could say it definitively, but certainly it's possible. I mean, you know, Bub Carrington's development is really important for that, but they also got a first round pick down the road. So like that trade is, you're not going to be able to evaluate in totality for quite a while, but you know, certainly Denny took a big step forward last year.
Huge step. He had taken a big step the year before in his last year here.
He had, and you know, one more big step, and you know, we might be talking about you know, a borderline all-star, and you and I have talked about whether he has all-star potential before, but you know,
I always thought he did. I may be wrong, but he averaged, you know, I was looking at something before having you on the show today. In the last month of the regular season in Portland, he averaged 23.4 points, 9.8 rebounds, and 5.2 assists over the final 13 games. For the season, he had a step-up season, averaged 16, 8, and 4. Plus, you know, he can get after it defensively. I just think his versatility, his size, I do think there's still a chance, because he's just 23 or 24 years old, that he could be an all-star future.
Yeah, and those numbers were tanked by the beginning of the season where he had to adjust to the trade. And he's kind of an emotional guy. I think it really kind of shook him up. And he had to adjust to a lot of new things, new city, all that. But, you know, when they made the trade, it was, okay, what is Bub Carrington going to look like when he's the age that Denny is now? You know, they're really taking the long view with this. So it's still very early in his development, and there's a lot of reason to believe that Bub Carrington could become a really good player. So I think we're just going to have to keep checking back on that one.
Talking to Chase Hughes, of course, he covers the team for Monumental. So give me a sense of what we're going to see. You know, by the way, so on the list, you essentially said, you know, Kyshawn, you think George and Trey Johnson, if 5 years from now they're a contender, 3 years from now they're competitive, 5 years from now they're a contender, that those two have a chance to be legitimate, you know, star players and maybe they'll be paired with a Cameron Boozer or somebody out of the next draft or two. But you like their potential the most to spearhead, you know, a contending team 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
I do. I mean, obviously, Trey Johnson's one of the highest picks that they've made, and that was in what is considered to be a good draft, you know, unlike the draft that Sarr went second. And with Keyshawn, you know, I've seen it already. Like, I've seen it and I've heard it from scouts. So, like, I'm a big believer in, yes, like, it's always fun to talk about potential and what a guy could be in theory. But when you see them out on the court actually produce, that says something to me. And I've seen that from Keyshawn George. So I really think he's got a high ceiling and can be one of those guys.
All right, starting tonight, you know, real games. So how will they trot out starting lineup and then kind of the top, you know, 8 or 9?
Well, the starting lineup, I think, is going to be the same that they had in the first and third preseason games, which was...
I didn't watch either one of those two, so tell me who that is.
I think they coincided with the NFL games. Bob Carrington, CJ McCollum, Keyshawn George, Chris Middleton, and Alex Sarr. That was the starting five. Trey Johnson will be one of the first players off the bench. Bilal Coulibaly is starting the season hurt. Corey Kispert, Justin Champagny, Marvin Bagley, I think they'll be in there. I'm trying to think who I'd be missing. I mean, A.J. Johnson's been banged up. I think he'll get some minutes. And Cam Whitmore is the big question mark. You know, we saw him play some in the preseason. I'm sure he'll get his opportunity. But this season's going to be interesting in that regard, because I think if the opportunity isn't there for some young guys, and it won't be for everyone, you know, maybe it will be after the trade deadline, or maybe it will be as injuries pave the way. So whatever you see with the rotation tonight, I think by the end of the season, they're going to make sure that they get all these young guys plenty of minutes.
How are CJ, like, how is CJ McCollum blending in? Is he, because, you know, when you make a trade for a Middleton, who's always been a class act and a great teammate, McCollum the same thing, you're looking for more than just veteran, you know, play on the floor when you're in the stage the Wizards are in now. How about the other stuff with them? Are they mentors? Are they in on this rebuild or not?
I think McCollum, I think both of them are willing mentors, and they are answering a lot of questions for the young guys. And I think McCollum in particular has an interesting angle there, because Bob Carrington has long sort of seen some of himself in CJ McCollum. His older brother went to Lehigh. He's long been compared to CJ McCollum. And McCollum told me a great story. It was actually about Jahmyr Watkins, who's the Wizards' second round pick from this past draft. He said they were in the cold tub at the practice facility, and Watkins was asking him about Herb Jones, who McCollum played with in New Orleans with the Pelicans.
The Alabama both, player, Herb. You're saying Herb Jones.
Yeah. Did I not say Herb Jones? Herb Jones? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So he was saying Watkins was asking him not only, like, how does this guy prepare? He's one of the best wing defenders in the league, Herb Jones is. And he was like, how does he prepare? And then also, as an offensive player, you went up against him in practice many times. What makes him effective? So I think the Wizards have brought in a lot of young players who are inquisitive like that. And McCollum and Middleton, too, they happen to be very, like, gracious and willing mentors, but also guys who are just very good at explaining things. And I mean, I think you watch an interview, particularly with McCollum, and you see that right away. So I think there's definitely a good veteran influence in this locker room. And the McCollum Carrington thing could be interesting to watch because of their parallels.
All right. The over under on wins is 20.5, over or under?
I'll go slightly over. I think they'll get to 21 or 22. You know, one thing when it comes to the wins that's got to be kept in mind is the protections on their first-round pick. They they have to really be top eight in the draft if they want to keep that pick, because the New York Knicks own it. It's the same draft pick they traded with John Wall to get Russell Westbrook. And last year, the threshold for the fourth-worst record in the league, which would ensure you a top-eight pick, was 21 wins. It was the Pelicans, I believe, actually. So that's kind of the range. They won 15, 18. I think they take another step forward, a slight step forward, and hopefully, you know, see some development from their young players.
Can you imagine having to get is it with Phoenix or New York that they would lose the pick to if they finished, you know, with the ninth worst record?
So Phoenix is involved, but it's New York, and if they keep the pick, then they can swap with the Phoenix Suns, but they have to keep the pick to be able to do that.
Got it. Okay. People, you want them to finish with one of the eight worst records. And really, last year, that buzzer beater by Bob Carrington in the final game of the year cost them some opportunity on the downside of their draft position. You know, it's like it's a weird spot, right? It's the, you know, it's another year of rooting to see hope and development, but not win too many games to get out of that position. I know you've probably spent a lot of time looking at next year's draft. For a few years now, it's been the Cameron Boozer draft, but now I know the kid from Kansas is at the top of a lot of boards now. So if they ended up with number one in the 2026 draft, is there an obvious, you know, a Wembanyama or a, you know, an obvious, you know, Cooper Flagg would have been certainly in so many ways, you know, impactful beyond even the basketball floor. But is there a player at the top of that 2026 draft that everybody will be salivating to get?
I think so. There's no Wembanyama. There's no LeBron. There's no Shaq. Those guys come around every 20 years, and they just have physical advantages that make it so that they're obviously going to be superstars. But there could be a Cooper Flagg or an Anthony Edwards, or maybe both, because I think A.J. DeBanza at BYU has a lot of similarities to Cooper Flagg. I think he's going to be the number one pick right now, but these guys haven't really played any meaningful games. Darren Peterson of Kansas would be that Anthony Edwards type. But, you know, we got to see them play. You know, there's a lot of guys who have been highly ranked coming out of high school. You know, Cameron Boozer, I like him too. He's right now considered like the third pick. But, you know, you got to see the shooting percentages. You got to see how they look compared to other athletes. And, you know, like for every Anthony Edwards type athlete, there's two or three guys who are arguably just as athletic, maybe not quite as athletic, that just don't know how to play basketball, right? So we got to see it. But I think A.J. DeBanza, BYU, Darren Peterson, Kansas, and Cam Boozer at Duke are the three guys to watch right now. And they all three look like they could be really good.
Thanks for doing this. As always, enjoy the season. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and don't forget, Chase has a podcast that is excellent on YouTube and Monumental. It's called Off the Bench. So Chase's podcast, if you're a Wizards fan, check it out. And you can get a link to it and more information on it on his X account at Chase DC Sports. All right, back to football when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980 and TheTeam980.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G.
More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
All right, I wanted to read this. It comes from Randall. Randall writes, Kevin, I'm a sports psychologist, and while fan behavior isn't my specialty, I know psychologically damaged fan bases when I see them. Nothing exemplifies the damage done by Dan Snyder to the Commanders Redskins fan base more than the sudden turn by many against the GM, coach, and QB. Last year was actually an uncomfortable place in something called trauma bonding. That's what's occurring right now. It's a form of Stockholm syndrome where for many Washington fans, they are finding it difficult to engage in behavior that will release or detach themselves from their abuser. This is great, Randall. I don't know if you're really a sports psychologist, but I love this so far. This is why you've heard from so many fans who have taken the first sign that last year was a fluke, was abnormal, and used it as a reason to embrace an abusive past, which became their norm. Thought this would help. Randall, I guess, responding to a lot of the conversation this week about, you know, Adam Peters is, you know, he stinks. Dan Quinn stinks. The quarterback has regressed so much. They got the wrong guy at number two. And he calls this trauma bonding. I've never heard of this, but it's a form of Stockholm syndrome, which I have heard of. That's where you sympathize, right, with your captor.
Yes.
Yes. And he says, Washington fans are finding it difficult to engage in behavior that will release or detach themselves from their abuser. This is why you've heard from so many fans who've taken the first sign that last year was a fluke, was abnormal. They're embracing their abusive past because it became their norm. I read this last night, and I've used this analogy before about what we all went through together as fans of this team. You know, and I've said we were institutionalized, you know, like Shawshank Redemption institutionalized. When Red, you know, said when he was talking about Brooks Hadlin, these walls are funny. You know, first you hate them, then you get used to them. Enough time passes, you get so you depend on them. That's institutionalized. And that's it. As a fan base, we're not doing well right now with our freedom. We got released, and we feel like we still need, you know, we still need to ask our boss if it's okay to go to the bathroom. That's kind of where we are right now. We have our freedom with Josh Harris, a good supportive, you know, outside group, you know, ready to help us. You know, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels. And they've already done so much to help us adapt to this new world outside the walls. They gave us a massive reason to party last year that we were out. You know, we were finally out of this dark cave. Some of you have, you know, held back. You waited for the party to kind of, you know, die down a bit. So you could say, yeah, I knew it wouldn't last. I knew it couldn't last. Put me back in my cell. I just want to polish rocks. Isn't that what Andy Dufresne was doing? Was it for a chessboard? I think it was.
Correct.
No. Andy Dufresne, remember, said to Red, hope is a good thing. You know, remember, hope is a good thing. Maybe the best of things. And he, you know, signed off on that letter that he left in that main, you know, hillside field by that big oak tree. He said, you know, I hope this letter finds you well, No, it's not finding many of you well. A lot of you aren't well yet. You're just going to have to figure out how to get through a rough seven-game patch. It's seven games. There's some truth in this. There is some PTSD. There is some damage that is coming to the fore here in this first adversity moment. By the way, you know, last year I remember I talked a lot about, you know, Jaden as we were going through the season, and he was just checking one box after another, you know, throws with anticipation, reads defenses, scrambles when he has to, you know, can run, can throw, deep throw, touch throw, medium throw, short throw, everything. Last, you know, game-winning moments, yes, Cincinnati, check the box. Comeback wins, yes, check the box. You know, and I remember saying, you know, let's see how he handles that first, you know, multi-game losing streak where everybody's looking at him and blaming him. And they did have a three-game losing skid last year, but it really wasn't on him. I think we knew at that point the only chance out of the three-game losing skid was him. And then it was about, can he do it in a big game that matters? Well, he did it against the Falcons late in the year, the Eagles late in the year, and then two playoff road wins, where he was the reason more than anybody else was that the team won. But I actually think right now is the moment in which he is facing the most adversity. He is being questioned from an injury standpoint. Is this going to be the life we lead with Jaden Daniels? Perhaps, in and out of the lineup, year in and year out. I think that's the biggest and most legitimate concern at this point. Actually, for me, the only legitimate concern. I'm not concerned about anything that he's doing as a quarterback. 2 weeks ago against the Chargers, we thought he had played at an elite level after the first two drives. I mean, Jacory Kroski-Merritt was going to push for NFC Rookie of the Year after that game. Trey Amos, I mean, going back to, you know, summer. Remember all the talk about the secondary over the summer? That's why the training camp days and these preseason games are completely worthless to spend any real time obsessing over. They mean nothing. What matters over the summer are injuries, holdouts. That mattered. Everything else is a joke. The biggest storyline coming out of training camp was, oh my God, we got a secondary. Last year that was a problem. This year not going to be a problem. But look, come on, people. Wake up. Dan is gone. He's gone. We've got adults in charge. This is a real organization. And the new GM and the new head coach, if you want to just look at results and nothing else, 17-10, 2-1 in the postseason. That's their one season. How could you question that? If you weren't willing to give them the benefit of the doubt before last year, I think you should really consider doing it after the first year that they had. 14-5, 2-1 in the postseason. I am, not blindly, I think I've got a lot of good reasons beyond the record that supports giving them the benefit of the doubt. You know, it starts with the culture, which has turned around much faster than anybody thought it could turn around, right? I mean, players and coaches actually want to come here. Remember Ben Standig's annual agent survey from over the summer? He does it. It's such a great, you know, survey that he does with NFL agents. I pulled some of the quotes from that annual agent survey about Washington, about Adam Peters. Washington is the most stable organization from top to bottom in the NFL. That's a quote from an NFL agent about our organization. Another quote, they emphasized culture and character. And I don't mean that just with the players, but with the front office and the coaching staff as well. Everyone talks about family these days, right? Every company's a family. You can never truly have a genuine family dynamic with a team because it's a business. But I think that Adam and the guys have done the best job in the league of really trying to put that together and create that. Another quote, I know it's only one season, but I think what Adam Peters has done and what I think he's going to continue to do, I think the culture that he's building is going to sustain success for a long time. Closed quote. That was just 2 months ago. You know, 2 weeks ago, as I mentioned, Kroski-Merritt Trey Amos. Jaden's back. You know, what'd you say, Max? Jaden was back. Slow start. A-level, you know, game after the slow start for Jaden. Defense even looked acceptable. And this culture that they have created, you've got to trust that this tough stretch, lots of injuries. Truth is, one fumble away from being 4-3 against the Bears, and I think the hysteria would be dialed way back, you know, because you could then say, well, look, we didn't have a starting receiver in the Dallas game, and the defense would still be a concern. But that fumble combined with what happened in Dallas made things seem, you know, awfully dark right now. I can't sell you on a Monday night upset. I can tell you that. I cannot sell you on that. But I can hang on to what they've created and being able to look it in the face, this adverse period, and overcome it. You know, and come out on the other side looking much better. It's possible that this will be a year over a sustained run of success that was just problematic because of all the injuries. It's possible that this year doesn't turn around. But I think all they got to do is win three of the next four. All they got to do. Big challenge, no doubt. And be 6-6 heading into December. And then everything's back on the table. You don't have to be good now. You know, you have to hang in there now. So that if you do get healthier, if you do become a better team, you can play games that are meaningful in December and January. I don't think that's off the table. I can sell you on that. I can't sell you on Monday night, though. That's for sure. Smell test when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.